Today, we have an inflation problem and more. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is Post covering finance and property news. Well, as expected, according to the latest monthly inflation data from the ABS released today, Australian inflation has remained elevated in February, which has underscored persistent price pressures in the economy even before the Iran war disrupted Middle East energy supplies and sent the cost of gasoline and other goods soaring. So at one level, we should look through this news, but it does confirm Australia has an inflation problem. And of course, Australian gasoline prices are now up close to 30%, with supplies short in some areas. In fact, Sky reported 500 service stations in New South Wales and Victoria are currently out of stock. Governor Michelle Bullock warned that inflation remains too high and that the board was worried about second round effects from high energy costs. The RBA 2 weeks ago delivered its second consecutive rate increase, take the cash rate to 4.1%, as it tries to cool those price pressures. And she warned last week that if the central bank failed to bring inflation under control, Australia risked falling into recession. We don't want to have a recession, but if it's hard to get inflation down, then you know we're going to have to deal with that. Possibly, she said. And the money market implies a solid chance of at least two more rate hikes this year, as I discussed in my live show yesterday. The so-called trim mean gauge of consumer prices, which excludes volatile items, rose 3.3% from last month from a year ago versus estimates of 3.4%, and unchanged from 12 months ago to January 2026. The Reserve Bank aims for inflation at the midpoint of its 2-3% target, of course. That was in line, by the way, also with RBA expectations. The Consumer Price Index rose 3.7% in the 12 months to February. According to the ABS, the 3.7% eased slightly from the 3.8% in January. The largest contributor to annual inflation in February was housing, which rose 7.2%. That was followed by a 3.1% rise in food and non-alcoholic beverages and a 4.1% rise in recreation and culture. Annual housing inflation was 7.2% in February, up from 6.8%, and that reflected rising costs for electricity, new dwellings, and rents. Electricity costs rose 37% in the 12 months of February, up from 32.2% in January. The increase in electricity costs over the year was mostly related to households using up the extended Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund, the EBRF, and also various state government rebates. The higher increase in the year to February compared to January reflected the ending of the EBRF rebates. In other words, Jim Chalmers did this. Excluding the impact of both the Commonwealth and state government electricity rebates over the previous year, electricity prices rose 4.9% in the 12 months of February, and that reflected annual price reviews by energy retailers in July 2025. Food and non-alcoholic beverages rose 3.1% in the 12 months of February. Annual inflation for food remains above 3%, and meals out and takeaway prices increased 3.7% over the past year, and prices for beef and lamb were 30% higher compared to 12 months ago. Transport fell just a little, 0.2% in the 12 months of February, with automotive fuel prices 7.2% lower compared to 12 months ago, which means that prior to the Middle East conflict, automotive fuel prices fell 3.4% in the month of February, which followed a fall of 3.2% in January. But that, of course, that's on the rearview mirror now. Annual goods inflation was 3.5% in the 12 months of February, down from 3.8% in January, and the main contributor was electricity, which rose 37% in the 12 months of February. And the largest negative contribution was automotive fuel, which fell 7.2% in the 12 months to February. Annual services inflation was 3.9% in the 12 months to February, unchanged from January. The main contributors were domestic holiday travel and accommodation, up 8.8%, and rents up 3.8%. And the tradables and non-tradables series, which measures the contribution of goods and services which are highly exposed to international trade influences, and those that are most influenced by domestic factors, the non-tradables, to overall household inflation, meant that annual non-tradable inflation was 5% in the 12 months to February, up from 4.9%. And the annual tradables inflation was just 1.3% in the 12 months of February, down from 1.9% in January. And again, this highlights the fact that inflation at the moment is a homegrown problem, although incoming are these big changes thanks to the Gulf War. Across the states, inflation was highest in Perth at 4.9%, followed by Hobart at 4%, Sydney at 3.8%, Brisbane at 3.7%, Canberra at 3.5%, Adelaide at 3.4%, Melbourne at 3.3% and Darwin at 3.2%. Jim Chalmers warned on Wednesday that the Middle East conflict would see inflation higher for longer in our economy as the global price for oil soared due to shipping disruptions through the Straits of Hormuz, where one-fifth of global oil passes. He said Treasury modelling of the economic fallout from the war, which includes the possibility of inflation rising to around 5% by middle of the year, looks pretty conservative now. There are two key considerations here, Chalmers said. First of all, the timing of the end of the war, and secondly, how long it takes for the global economy to get back on track after the hot part of hostilities end. Purely from an economic and market point of view, the end of this war can't come soon enough for the economy, he said. All up, this helps to explain the very weak consumer sentiment data, which plunged to a record low on the combined hit from surging oil prices and, of course, the other factors we've been talking about. As John Kehoe noted in the AFR, economic reality has caught up with the government as it confronts a 1970s-style stagflation-light shock. High domestic inflation, exacerbated by fuel prices spiking from the Middle East, interest rate rises, and Treasury's belated productivity downgrade have collided to create what is called a burning platform for fundamental change. Labour has made the RBA's inflation fight harder. Nominal government spending has jumped by 8% for each of the past two financial years to a 40-year high as a share of the economy outside of the COVID-19 pandemic. What business or household, he asks, could afford to keep increasing spending by 8% each year? Now, of course, Michelle Bullock made clear that the rate rise was all about domestic inflation pressures compounded by the future risk of inflation expectations jumping in response to higher fuel prices. And yes, our expectations have jumped, according to the latest Ray Morgan. The bottom line is that the economy has become dependent on population growth via migration and participation to grow, not productivity. So all up, while this inflation noise is important, I think ahead things are going to get very, very interesting. And the question is, will the RBA continue to lift rates higher or have to respond to the wider economic slowdown? Well, with interest rates where they are, inflation will continue to bubble higher. With fuel prices rising, inflation will bubble higher. And all of this puts significant growth at risk, which comes back, unfortunately, to my key thesis now, which is that we are facing into a stagflation shock. If we get a stagflation shock, then later we may see interest rates cut, but it's going to be a very uncomfortable ride ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.